Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to present a work about Langlinter's one or LI1. This work was published last year in the BMC Genomics. If you want to get more detail, please read this paper here. I remember about 2 years ago, my postdoc, Dr. Hinchliffe, made a presentation on LI2 at Florida. And there was a question, say, well, we have LI1. Did your group do anything on LI1? Yes, we do. So that's actually at that time, we already started. And we do both LI1, LI2, trying to understand the fiber elongation and also identify the genes or transcripts which regulate fiber elongation. So that's the objectives of this research. The first one is to try to locate where the gene is. The second one is trying to identify genes or transcript factors that are related to this mutation. But eventually we're going to, to compare LI1 and LI2 as well. So this is to show, okay, this is one type, this is LI1, this is LI2. The LI1, the phenotype is similar. But LI1 also cause change, or there is a pleiotropic change in the vegetative, in the plant growth. But for LI2, there is no difference except the fiber length. Well, this is a enlarged one, and I want to show you here the LI1. Also, the fiber looks kind of thicker, and I want to explain later on. So the material we used is the neoastenic line. This is in the DeltaPine 5690 genetic background. So this line was developed by Dr. Turley at the Crop Genetics Research Unit in Stoneville, and this is how it was developed. So what we used. So we used here, we selected a homozygous one and also homozygous wild type and also, sorry, homozygous mutant and homozygous wild type. And then we made a cross. So our F2 population is more than 2,500 progeny. It's quite big and derived from, homozygous mutant and bihomozygous wild type in this genetic background. And we plant plants in both Stoneville and New Orleans here. And we harvest mature both and for phenotypic evaluation. So cotton fiber development has, I know you guys see this picture several times. And has four different stages. Here we mainly want to focus on this fiber elongation stage, which is about 5 to 20 dpa. Depends on, there's change, it changes. So, and this mutant is excellent material to study this stage. So for this experiment, we did, there are two different experiments. One is mapping. We use F2 2500 progeny, and another one is to identify genes or transcripts which related to this mutation. We use microarray, and for this microarray research, we used 100 wild type and also 100 mutant, 100 wild type and 100 mutant, and growing in New Orleans. And we used three time points, 3 and 12 and 16 dpa. The microarray is a commercial alpha chip. It has about 240,000 probe sets and prints about 22,000 cotton transcripts. And so that, yeast derived, and the yeast source is from these four species. And they're multi organs from tissue, from leaf samples and also from fiber samples. This is commercially available. And also we measured the fiber structure. I mean, we did a cross dissection, and also we measured the cellular content. And LI1, it has a thick, I mean, it appears about thick. But I mean, what we think, because of the fiber, I mean, it stopped elongation. However, the cellulose still deposit to the cell wall. So it give us a kind of impression which the fiber looks thick. So that's what we measured. So as a matter of fact, so if you look at here, and for the fiber length, obviously, there is big difference. And also for the fiber weight, it has a difference for single ovule. However, per millimeter of the fiber, the fiber density, actually the mutant is higher. Because they continue, even though, I mean, they stopped the elongation, but the cellulose still continue deposit. So that one make the density higher. So the microarray, I mean, this is a heavy slide, but the take-home message is the mutation affect the genes which related to the primary cell wall or secondary cell wall thickening. Most of them, if you look at here, at the 12 dpa, and this is mutant, so a lot of downregulated. We see very little upregulated. And at the 16 dpa, there are few which is upregulated, but most of them are downregulated, which means that mutation affected the fiber cell elongation in a negative way, which is makes sense. Well, this is to show the collaboration. I mean, we selected a few. I really do not know what the functionality of this gene is. So we selected a few genes for collaboration using the RT-PCR. Then we mapped this gene on chromosome 22. Here, there is a big gap. We tried very, very hard trying to close this gap, but we could not. And in a similar paper, which published in the same year, but not on LI1, but on LIX, which published by a Chinese group, and also they mapped this gene, but I think on chromosome 4 or chromosome 8. I think on chromosome, on the A genome. This is the D genome. And also exactly the same thing. There is a big gap. They could not close the gap. We really do not know why. And we aligned this whole interval. It's about 17 million base. Against the Limondia genome sequence, trying to identify any SNPs or any markers which can close this gap. Unfortunately, we could not. Well, we're still doing it, but for the time as of now, we still do not have any markers which can close this gap. I mean, on this side, it is quite good. It's only 0.8 centimorgan, but I mean, because this population is huge, 2,500 progeny. So, but on this side, it's really, it's kind of trouble. So in that 17 million base, I mean, there are lots of genes. And we selected a few we sequenced these genes and trying to see whether we can identify SNPs, but as I said, we could not. And also we did RT-PCR, trying to see whether there's any correlation with the fiber development. Well, I mean, based on here, yes, it has some. I mean, but what these are the genes? No, they are not the gene per se. But these are maybe the downstream genes which regulated or related to the LI1 mutation. So the conclusion based on this research is early sensation of the elongation in the LI1 mutant was due to the disruption of a primary cell wall elongation related process. And the genes related to the fiber elongation were tentatively identified, but we are still doing more in-depth research trying to first close the gap and then gradually to get to the point where the gene is. And in that way, we will be able to understand the mechanism caused by this LI1 mutation. And also at the same time, we're trying to compare LI1 and LI2, and also its wild type, trying to study the common mechanism or mutation-specific mechanism related to the fiber elongation. So eventually, what we're trying to understand, what is the common genes related or a suite of common genes related to the fiber elongation, or what, and also what are the specific genes which is specific to the LI1 mutation and also LI2 mutation. And we have a good system because all of this LI1, LI2, and the wild type, they are mutually neoisogenic. They are in the same genetic background, in the delta pines 5690 genetic background. So for each of them, they are mutually neoisogenic. So that's a very unique system to work with. Well, that's the end, and I really need to thank a lot of people who made this work, to make a contribution to this work. Matthew Gilbert, he's not here, and he's the leading author for this paper, and he did a lot of work for this. And Heejin Kim, and he's here, and he did a lot of measurement of the cellulose and the fiber dissection and so on. And Dr. Naomi Kina, Pin Lee, and Greg, and all of them contributed to section of the research. And Ricky Telly made the population and also made the material. He's in Stoneville. And Dr. Tan at the Nobel Foundation, she did microarray analysis for us. And also Dr. Schaffler, Brian Schaffler and Sharon at the Genomic Center in Stoneville, they did all of the SSR market analysis for us. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
When you did your microarray analysis, did you have any genes on your array that were within your region that you were looking at?
Yes, there are in that interval. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are, but they are not. We do not see the expression difference in that interval. That is not related. If you compare wild type and the mutant, but we do not see any fold. Our threshold is twice. It has to be twice the difference. Otherwise, we do not consider it significant. So no, we do not see the one which is past the twice threshold in that interval. I don't know. Yeah, we're trying to, to investigate. And for the time being, we're focused on the fiber. We haven't done anything on other part, like the, vegetative growth or the plant height. We haven't done anything yet. Okay. Okay. Thank you.